Welcome back to Well, That's Interesting, the That's a Lot of Bodies to Ground Up edition.
What? Yes. Why are we grinding up bodies now? Again?
Yes, that's
what
a good
are
point.
What are we using them for this time, Jill? Why do we have to keep grinding up the bodies?
Clearly this has happened before.
Yes, it has happened before. And that was kind of loud, and we have neighbors. Oh my.
We're New Yorkers, so yes. We never think of our neighbors. Yeah. But on the flip side, they never think of us.
Yes,
so we just hear each other all day long. And I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
Today is episode 088. Of course that happened. Mummies were once an ingredient in paint.
I mean...
Mm-hmm. Just... Oh, already her hands are in her face. Wow, under a minute. That's a new record.
It is a new record. I'm just like embarrassed on behalf of artists and people who paint stuff.
And also humanity. Yeah, humanity.
Yeah, that's someone's, that could be someone's mom, you know?
Oh, yeah, it was. Great.
It could be someone's kid. Actually, it is someone's kid. On your fucking, I don't know what they're painting with
We'll get into that too.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to get into so much shit. I'm Jill Chacha, and I am with the just already mortified Marissa Riley.
That's me. I'm here. I'm just so embarrassed on behalf of people.
Of all the
people, humans are the worst. That's right. Worst.
If this is your first time listening, welcome to the flock.
Welcome.
Dr. Riley here comes in cold and learns everything in real time, just like you.
It's true. I had no idea what we were going to talk about today. And now that I know, I'm pumped, but I'm also just like, ugh. Yeah.
You're cautiously pumped.
I need that t-shirt yesterday. But yes, I'm cautiously pumped.
I'm going to put that in the merch pile.
Yep, thank you.
Cautiously pumped.
Please add it to the list.
Okay. My friends, if you're a longtime listener of this show, then you know the rich, the affluent, the well-off have been eating, snorting, drinking, and smearing the bodies of marginalized peoples for literally hundreds of years.
Yeah, what a pain in the ass. Yes. What dicks.
Total dicks. Before germ theory and vaccines, prior to the mid-1800s, if a rich person was sick or had a headache, well, all you had to do was find the skull of an Irish person.
Obviously. Obvi.
Yep. Grind it up, add your favorite booze, and voila, you had a cure.
Yeah. Chalky wine with a person's brain. Easy peasy.
Now, we covered this example and a whole lot more in episode 064, How Human Brains Were Once Used as Medicine.
Highly recommend y'all listen. Such a good episode.
So fucking good. If you haven't had a listen, please do. You'll end up hating the rich even more.
One of my favorite pastimes is hating the rich.
It just never ends.
It's so easy. Yeah. You're allowed to hate them.
It's amazing.
It's like the one group of people that it's like you can
totally
comfortably dislike.
Today, like the title suggests, in the not-too-distant past, and for over 300 years...
Oh, my God.
Yes, I said 300. Humans have found another way to use humans.
Really? There's...
By putting them in paint.
God damn it! Come on!
Now, to understand why... Well, this is kind of gross, but we have to say it. Why the color mummy brown?
Wow. Yeah. I'm not going to get into all the problems there, but there's a few.
There's a handful of problematic things today. Why the color mummy brown became a sensation in the 1700s to 1800s, we need to take a trip back in time even farther.
Take me there. Yeah. I got to know origin story.
That's right. We got to do it for context and shit. So let's briefly dip a toe in the time of togas.
Oh.
Let's hang with the Greeks for a moment.
Party.
That's right. Now, the Greeks loved using a natural substance called bitumen.
Okay.
For medicinal purposes.
Okay.
Now, what the fuck is that exactly? Well, according to our primary source today, an incredible article by Philip McCott called The Life and Death of Mummy Brown.
What a title.
Incredible. It's, quote, a substance which oozed from the earth in Persia and various other places in the Middle East.
Okay.
End quote.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Marissa, let's get a little bit more specific. So do tell us a little bit more about this gloopy stuff.
I would love to. I'm a little nervous, but let's <You should be. laughs> let's dive right in. All right. From Britannica.com, quote, bitumen is a dense, highly viscous, petroleum-based hydrocarbon, nailed it, yeah, that is found in deposits such as oil sands and pitch lakes called natural bitumen, or is obtained as a residue of the distillation of crude oil or refined bitumen. It is used for road surfacing and roofing, end quote. Mm-hmm. So it's, petroleum-based thing.
Yeah,
that
you got it.
Substance that comes out of the
earth. Out of the earth,
yeah. I thought it was going to be human goo.
This is a close second.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I was waiting for the human part, and I'm like, oh, it's just shit that comes out of the ground.
It's shit that comes out of the ground, but it's also used for road surfacing and roofing today. Yeah. So, my friends, if you look out your window and you see a paved road, you kind of get the idea of what natural bitumen looks like.
Uh-huh.
It's black, dense, and in the wild, it's a liquid.
Uh-huh.
The Greeks took one look at that stuff and were like, yeah, we got to eat this shit.
Oh my God, you guys are so wasted. Don't do that.
So wasted. Well, ever since, for hundreds of years, this goop was used to cure everything from toothaches to dysentery.
What is the cure? Death?
So,
that's the name of my next album. What is the cure? ? Death, period.
That's I like
it. Dark.
Is this
I'm going to start a metal band just to use that as a lyric or something. Mm-hmm. Anyways, back to the pod. Enough about me.
Okay. Well, let's hop back into our let's hop back into our time machine and fast forward to the wacky 1100s.
Holy shit.
Yes, the 12th century.
Damn.
It was here philosopher and scholar Abdel-el-Latif.
Nailed
me,
it.
Believed that the blackened appearance of Egyptian bodies was, quote, due to the aging of the embalming materials.
Oh.
This was erroneously attributed to the use of bitumen being used to soak the bodies and their shrouds.
So bitumen was kind of like their...
Oh, it wasn't.
I don't want to say... Oh, never mind.
Yeah, it was erroneously
attributed. Erroneously. Yeah. See, I didn't know what that word meant. Is that, what does that mean? Like, accidentally?
He got it wrong.
Oh, he got it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
The state school in Texas. Just don't listen to me.
All good. Continuing the quote, it was therefore believed that these bodies would provide a much-needed alternative supply of that increasingly scarce substance. End quote. From Philip McCout.
So this guy thought, or someone thought, there was bitumen in these bodies.
You got it.
But they were wrong.
100% wrong.
Okay, I nailed it. Context clues. Thank you, Jill.
You got it. Now, Abdel-el-Latif was like, all caps, the most important writer of his day.
Amazing.
From 1162 to 1231, whatever he said and wrote and did, everyone in Persia followed. Persia being what we now called the Middle East.
Got it.
Now, to put his influence into context, get this, okay? Get fucking ready for this.
All right.
The Persian word for bitumen is mum or mumya.
Okay, that sounds like another word I've
heard.
That's
right, you guessed it. The use of mumya became so popular that the word itself came to represent Egyptian bodies. It's the word we still use to this day. It's why we call them mummies.
So this was like the influencer.
Yes. Yes.
So this was like the Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Except a writer and talented.
and like, yeah.
So he like tweeted this out, whatever the equivalent.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's like, all right, it's true.
We got to do it.
I believe it.
Got to smear it. Got to smear it everywhere.
We got to call these things mummies now.
That's right. So let's gas up that time machine. We're heading to the 1500s.
Fuck yeah, we are.
Now, trade routes had vastly expanded between those 300 years, and that means the world had gotten a little smaller and way more connected.
Interesting, but also, yeah, that makes sense.
There you go. Dr. Marissa, I thought we could take turns reading from that wonderful article, life and death of Mommy Brown, as to what the fuck was happening now. What do you say?
I say fuck yes.
All right. It provides some shocking insight. And by the way, some of this is 1500s dialogue talk. God. So it's going to get a little funky, but you'll get the idea what the fuck is going on.
I'm so into that. Okay. All right. Let's get it started. Quote, by the 16th century, despite legal restrictions, exporting mummies from Egypt to Europe to be ground up and used as, in quotes, medicine was big business. Mm-hmm. Gross. Collection and distribution businesses were established. And since large profits were made, many foreigners, English, Spanish, French, German, and others began to trade in mummies, exporting complete bodies or packages of fragmented tissue from Cairo and Alexandria.
Holy shit.
One trader was the London merchant John Sanderson, an agent for the Turkey Company, who spent a year in Egypt and gave this vivid account of his visit to the Memphis mummy pits in 1586. Quote, we were let down by ropes, and as into a well, with wax candles burning in our hands, and so we walked upon bodies of all sorts and sizes. They gave no noisome smell at all.
Noisome. Continuing his quote, I broke of all the parts of the bodies to see how the flesh was turned to drug, and brought home heads, hands, arms, and feet for a shoe. We brought also 600 pounds for the Turkey Company in pieces.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was good.
Yeah, acting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
One little hand I brought into England and presented it to my brother, who gave the same to a doctor in Oxford. End quote.
First of all, whoa. Second of all, he kind of talks like Yoda. Everything is a little like switched around. Like a hand I have brought. Mm-hmm. Like there for my brother, a hand I have brought. Exactly. Or something like that.
Give to doctor, you will.
Give to doctor, you will. Second of all, this is terrible.
Fucking
this is
gross.
A disaster.
600 pounds. 600. Everyone, just say it.
600 pounds of bodies.
That's right.
Bodies.
Dried bodies
that were like put in the ground sacredly of their, you know, religion, spiritual beliefs, just completely exhumed. That's the right word, right? That's or is it, that yeah. what you do to a grave?
Both.
They've been taken out of the ground, y'all.
Fucking hell.
What shit?
Yes. My friends, from the 1600s, to the 1700s, if we walked into a random apothecary on a street in Europe, we would have absolutely no trouble finding a bottle of mummia.
No.
Dr. Marissa, would you like to see a bottle from that time period?
I actually really would. I'm dying to see this.
Yeah, we have a photo. And all photos we talk about today and a little bit extra will be on our social media stuff. So
amazing.
Please come on by and take a look at this particular one, which is from Germany. During
the land of my people.
From the 1700s.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I hate that this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to describe it. If they sold like cosmetics in this bottle today, they could sell, this would be like a $300 moisturizer. Oh, it looks so fucking chic.
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks ceramic or wood. I'm not 100% sure what the material
is. It's hard to tell. It could go either way because it's painted this, actually a red, a blushy red.
Like a blushy poppy tomato juice red. And it's kind of the shape of a carafe. And it's got a top. And then in the bottom, it's just got this... It's got the word mummy on this fucking awesome font that I all caps, like just this gorgeous old timey font. And then it's got this kind of like, it's almost like a stage around it, like little curtains around it that are blue, like the most gorgeous blue I've ever seen. And yeah, it's just kind of framing the word. Yeah. And it's just the coolest fucking shit I've ever seen. It's full of someone's, you know, mom. So yes. It's messed up.
It's messed up. Jesus. Now, my friends, you'd think a craze, especially that of grounding up bodies, would eventually die down after literally hundreds of years. But one event took place that actually made it level up.
Not surprised. Mm.
A little guy named Napoleon occupied Egypt in 1798.
He would. Yeah. He would. Nah. He fucking would. Figures.
Now, it was for a short period of time, for 3 years, but wherever the chic Frenchman went, the modern world took notice.
Of course. And everyone wants to be French. They're so cool. If you are French, what is the secret? And then you're going to reply, nothing.
Bastards.
I do nothing. I smoke and that's it.
I was going to say that must be it, but no. The nothing part is it.
I think the nothing part. It's the not giving a fuck. Mm-hmm. I have to learn.
Okay. So, Dr. Marissa, please tell us, what pivot did the Egyptian authorities make after those 3 years?
Let's fucking talk about it, man. All right. That was aggressive. I'm sorry. Anyways, from Philip's article, quote, prompted by the Egyptian authorities' desire to modernize and open up the country to the West, tourism, previously spasmodic and sometimes dangerous, quickly became highly prestigious and fashionable. Scholar B. M. Fagan reports that by the 1830s, a craze for things Egyptian had taken Europeans by storm. Diplomats and tourists, merchants and dukes all vied.
That's
a word. All vied with one another to assemble spectacular collections of mummies and other antiquities. In 1833, the monk Father Jerome,
nice.
Remarked, quote, it would be hardly respectable on one's return from Egypt to present oneself without a mummy in one hand and a crocodile in the other, end quote. Oh my God. Yes. A father, monk said, if you come back from Egypt without a fucking dead body
and,
and a lizard, what are you even doing?
That's right. Pictures are, it didn't happen. That's exactly
Jesus,
what
Jesus, that's disgusting.
That's exactly what
that
it is.
That is disgusting, and I am judging them. I judge people every day, but I'm really judging Father Jerome.
Jerome is a bastard.
What's a deek? That sucks.
Totally sucks. And yes, my friends, mummies went from being medicinal to everyday entertainment.
Oh, God.
And some entertainment in the 1800s included, you guessed it, art.
Uh-huh.
Paintings.
Uh-huh.
Paintings, to be exact.
I see where this is going.
After the break, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah.
Now we're finally going to find out who made Mummy Brown.
Oh, my God.
Who used it and what happened to cause its downfall.
We gotta know.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Please do.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide. So we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey everyone, Jill Chacha here from Well That's Interesting, and I am absolutely thrilled to tell you about Spotify for Podcasters. I use it, I love it, and it all started by downloading the free Spotify for Podcasters app, which has all the tools you need in one place to record and edit your masterpiece of a podcast. Spotify for Podcasters also distributes your show to all major platforms. So when you hit publish, your episodes will stream not only on Spotify, but I'm talking about the Apples, the Googles, Stitcher, Good Pods, the other ones. You get the idea. And you can monetize your podcast with no minimum listenership required. You could also set up monthly subscriptions and record ads just like this one. So what are you waiting for? Download Spotify for Podcasters today and start changing the world. Oh, and please, stay interesting. And we're back.
We are so back.
We're so back. And my friends, over the commercial break, we've all been transformed into artists living in the mid-1800s.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, I'm going to die at 23.
That's right.
From a cut on my hand.
That's right. Exciting.
I don't know. Talk more.
Okay, you got it. Let me get more specific. We're all white men artists.
Ah!
White male artists living in the mid-1800s.
That sounds more like it.
Mm-hmm. Which means we're basically the Kardashians meet hip-hop artists of our day.
Good times.
We're a big fucking deal. We can do anything we want,
anything,
basically.
Anything, until we die shortly.
Shortly. Now, to maintain our stranglehold on entertainment, we need to paint, we need to create.
Yes.
Now, remember, if you wanted your beautiful creation to be seen in the 1800s.
And I do.
Girl, people had to get their asses up and into a gallery
get
to see
it.
Get
into my gallery. Look at my shit.
So the question is, how do you lure them there?
Yeah.
That's right. You guessed it. You jump on the mummy bandwagon.
Amazing.
And it turns out these painters didn't have to try very hard to figure out how to incorporate mummia into their work.
I can imagine. Yeah. It seemed very easy. It seemed too easy,
yeah.
You guys.
Yeah, I know. According to HarvardArtMuseum.org, found within an art treatise written back in 1584 were descriptions of Europeans using ground-up mummies in their paint during that time period and beginning as far back as, you guessed it, the 12th century.
Wow.
Remember Abdel-Latif?
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, my friends, tubes of what was called mummy brown had been floating around, being used here and there ever since mummies were being snorted or ingested or whatever the fuck.
How many fucking ways can we use these people's poor bodies that they had so beautifully prepared for the afterlife? What if in their spiritual afterlives, they had to go live in these stupid museums with these smelly artists?
Yeah.
And they're like, this fucking sucks.
This blows.
I buried myself with my dog. I had all my organs removed in the perfect way. Everything was great.
Yep.
And now I'm fucking goo
mm-hmm.
in this fucking museum. Y'all fucking suck. I'm fine.
That's right.
I'm fine.
But when the craze for all things Egyptian, when the craze for all things Egyptian hit the 1800s, these white male artists did what any white male artist would do in this situation: form an exclusive group of self-proclaimed revolutionaries, declare a new art movement, and use this mummy brown in their canon.
I know. They think they're doing something great.
Yes.
They think they're revolutionaries.
Yep.
This is wild. I feel like now would be a good time to bring up the fact that, do you know who Julia Fox is?
I did it myself.
Oh, yes. Yes. So that girl she's done a lot of things, but I don't really understand what she does exactly. But I do know she had an exhibit of her own art that she made with her own blood.
Okay.
And that was what got people to come.
Yeah, that's been done a lot though.
So. Really?
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
That's
regular blood, menstrual blood.
Oh.
Fucking birthing
stuff. So she's
stuff.
Not original.
No.
Okay.
But, you know, she tried.
Isn't it sad that the only version of that I know about is hers? Ugh, I'll read up later. Anyways, back to mummy paintings.
Yeah, give it a Google. People using their blood to make art. It's a thing. It's a thing.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
Give it a Google. All right. So I hope you're sitting down.
I am.
If you're driving, pull over.
Yeah.
If you're standing, hold on to something.
Yes.
I'm about to say something that's even more douchey than the last thing I said.
Oh, no.
The name of this club initially a 7-member club, just 7 people.
Okay.
It was called the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood.
That is the douchiest thing I've ever yes. heard. Why? What? That is such a fraternity.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Such a frat.
This group, composed of English dudes, was formed in 1848, and I could provide their names, but fuck it. Just Google them.
Sounds like a lot of Joshes.
They looked like Joshes. Now, they had a bone to pick with the Italian master Raphael, who was long fucking dead by this point. So I guess if you're going to start some shit, do it with a dead guy.
Yeah.
A famous dead guy.
Yeah.
You'll make some waves. Anyway, these guys were like, we're better painters.
Of course they
are. Here's what we're going to do, okay? Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to paint things exactly like what they look like.
What? Yes. Oh my God! Revolutionary!
That's right. And to top it off, we're finishing each painting of the best goddamn bowl of fruit or a tree or whatever the fuck.
Right.
Of likes no one has ever seen before. Just the best of it.
Okay.
We're gonna sign it. Okay.
Stop
we're gonna
it.
Sign it. Yeah. We're gonna sign
it.
And then you're gonna put the initials PRB next to your name to signify this masterpiece's part of the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood. That's right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And we're using this type of round only. Okay, cool, cool. We agree. This is what we're doing.
Insane. This is amazing. Not.
So yeah. Yeah. So that's what the plan was. And so with all the cool kids using Mummy Brown and showcasing their works around town, you know, you guessed it. Eventually all the kids were using Mummy Brown.
God, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah. And it was then something amazing happened.
Okay.
Your hands are
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic again or not.
Her hands are in her face. Dr. Marissa, please tell us one of the reasons, plot twist, Mummy Brown began to lose momentum.
I would love to talk about this. I'm also a little stressed and sweating. Okay. Quote, however, despite its apparently widespread use, Mummy Brown generally received bad press.
Yeah.
Thank God. There were some positives. Quote, it flows from the brush with a delightful freedom and evenness. And it gives thin films that are extremely lovely and enjoyable. That was my addition. But beyond this, most views on the technical qualities of Mummy Brown were quite negative. Just as with medicinal mummy, its critics felt its authenticity was dubious and its technical qualities were unsatisfactory. End quote. And that is from Life and Death.
Yeah.
I love this. I love this so much. I love that not only did they realize it's so stupid and mean, it's also like bad. It just sucks.
It was just a bad paint.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what's a good paint? Paint. Just That's regular right. paint. I don't know what they had done at this time to make paint, but it sounds better than crushed up dead bodies.
Yes.
Because crushed up dead bodies are crushed up dead bodies.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right. It sucked as paint. A lot of critics and artists just shunned it because it was inconsistent at best. And that's because the ingredients were not consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about various bodies and various body parts in various states of decay.
Everyone's so different and has been dead for different times.
Exactly.
There you go.
So yeah, people didn't like the consistency. So you're wondering, I bet you're wondering, what the fuck? Was this the reason? What about the whole ingredients thing?
Right? Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Enter Edward Burne-Jones.
Hey, now, Ed.
Hey, that's right. His reaction to and ignorance of what was in Mummy Brown really signifies the total 180 public opinion that happened regarding human bodies in the late 1800s. Finally.
Jesus Christ.
Now, one thing you should know about Edward, he was one of the last people to join the Brotherhood.
Okay.
He wasn't one of the OG7, so he tagged along much later.
Okay.
So, Dr. Marissa, I thought we could take turns reporting on his extremely dramatic reaction to a revelation he had during lunch one day.
The best revelations happen right. during lunch and on the toilet. So, yeah.
And the symbolism that reaction became for Mummy Brown.
Okay.
Please, take it away.
Let's do it. All right. Quote, in her biography of the Pre-Raphael... In her biography of the pre-Raphaelite artist Edward Burne Jones, his widow Georgina recalls a particularly fateful turning point when the artist Lawrence Alma Tadema and his family were visiting the Burne Joneses for lunch on Sunday.
She wrote, quote, "We were sitting together after lunch, the men talking about different colors that they used, when Mr. Tadema startled us by saying he had lately been invited to go and see a mummy that was in his colorman's workshop before it was ground down into paint."
Continuing the quote, "Edward scornfully rejected the idea of pigment having anything to do with a mummy. He said the name must only be borrowed to describe a particular shade of brown. But when assured it was actually compounded of real mummy, he left us at once, hastened to the studio, and returning with the only tube he had, insisted on giving it a decent burial there and then."
A round of applause for
Edward. Doesn't solve much, but it's a start.
It's a start. Continuing the quote, "So a hole was bored in the..."
I like how we're getting into the burial.
Yes. "So a hole was bored in the green grass at our feet, and we all watched it put safely in, and the spot was marked by one of the girls planting a daisy root above it," end quote. So.
I mean, this doesn't solve much, no. But it's
something.
I feel better, at least, I mean, a little bit better for that mummy's poor spirit.
Yeah.
They will never be with their dog. I just assume that all mummies are buried with their dogs. That's a terrible generalization, but
you know, why not?
Yeah,
we, God willing, we're all buried with our dog one day.
That's what I'm going for. Anyways, I'm glad someone came to their sense, or didn't come to their senses, just to realize what was going on. Yes. And how stupid it is. Also, like,
they were informed.
They thought it was just a color, and it's not.
There you go.
It's a person.
So people were finally comprehending what they were doing. So, like Dr. Marissa, you gave a round of applause, rightfully so.
Doing it again.
According to the Pigments Wiki, by 1915, demand for mummy brown had slowed so much that, quote, "one London colorman claimed that he could satisfy the demands of his customers for 20 years from one Egyptian mummy," end quote.
Wow.
Now, if you're wondering, when was the last goddamn time someone bought this paint then?
I actually am curious.
Yeah. Dr. Marissa, would you like to guess? When was the last time someone bought this paint?
Like yesterday. I think it's somewhere like in a museum or something, mm-hmm. and someone bought it recently.
Well, you know, that's a pretty...
People suck.
That's a pretty goddamn good guess. It was sometime in the early 1960s.
That's not that long ago.
Nope, it wasn't.
It's not that long ago.
Yep. A managing director of Robertson and Co., a painting manufacturer, told Time magazine in 1964 they ran out of mummies to use a few years prior, and there hadn't been any demand since. He told Time, "It wouldn't matter if there was a demand anyway, because there are just no more mummies to be found."
Oh, wow. We used them all.
Yeah. Third time, her
hands... This is a disaster. This is so cruel. Terrible.
Third time, her hands are in her face. That might be a new record.
That's someone's grandparents. That's a person's life. Oh, my God.
I know.
Okay, I'm fine.
And, that's the end of this episode.
What a journey. I am sweating.
Yeah.
I haven't sweat this much in a long time. This is incredible. Jill, thank you for this story.
You're very welcome.
Puts a lot of perspective on things.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening, rating, subscribing, telling your friends that once upon a time, they put dead people in paint.
Yeah.
Because they could.
They
and
could.
That doesn't mean you should.
No.
There you go.
Yeah. So, think about it.
And please, stay interesting.
Please do.